Welcome to Story Hall, a little ARM architecture corner, really. We were responsible for Melbourne Central 23 years ago when Di Maru left town. And of course, it was an empty shopping centre straight out of the suburbs that didn't work. So our vision was to turn it back into a piece of Melbourne. We shut the three big entrances and made 17 entrances in there, carved a new laneway through there and gave it back to the city, putting bluestone in there, putting public furniture in there, and allowing students to kind of own the place. And it's turned into the owner's, GPT's, most valuable shopping centre as a result of just ignoring retail design principles and thinking about city design principles.
It's also worth adding, we opened up the train station. So before, you would come out, you'd go out of the building and then go back in if you wanted to. We incorporated the train station access into that, which it seemed so obvious that you would do that. It's the first naturally ventilated mall in Australia. All of the public spaces are not air conditioned.
The interesting thing is we still work with that client 23 years later on that site because it's part of the city. It's no longer a shopping centre. So it just keeps getting reimagined in micro pieces and kind of choreographed time after time, including new rooftop elements which are going to start to appear over the coming years. So a total transformation ongoing, which two full city blocks should absolutely be, not particularly in a kind of city that we are here. We find ourselves in front of Story Hall. Story Hall was built as Hibernian Hall in 1887. Many, many different owners. It was the centre for the suffragette movement in Melbourne too. Became owned by the Department of Education in the mid-50s and then became part of RMIT's legacy. And they approached us in the early 90s to have a think about how to turn it into something very, very useful for them. One of the last concerts that happened in the old Story Hall I read this morning was the birthday party in there. So it used to be the scene of quite cultural movements in here, Nick Cave and all of that. Our opportunity was to turn it into something really useful and also use it to rebrand RMIT University as a centre for intellect, a centre for future thinking, a real centre for technology. And that became a real icon for the transformation of it from a working man's college to what RMIT is for now. And a real vision for RMIT being the centre of the city rather than, you know, this little adjunct at the end there now. And that's certainly sort of come true now. Lots of cultural references in here, and Howard Raggett's the author of many, many of them. He's not here with us today. One of the key references is the Penrose tile. Roger Penrose is a mathematician, and two different tiles which come together, and actually it's a non-repeating pattern, which is a sort of a whole entry into contemporary mathematics that sort of hadn't really been brought into contemporary theory at that point in time. And that's reflected both on the facade here, and then you also go into the hall, which we can't do today, I'm terribly sorry, but have a look at it online or try and get to an event there. Entire fractal ceiling of non-repeating pattern, which completely reinvents that heritage hall, sort of floating inside that heritage envelope. When you look at these panels too, which were done by Bronze Works, handcrafted, all sorts of really interesting crafted references in there. Little, you know, straps from stockings, you know, as a reference to the suffragette movement, for example. Lots of little cast on things, and there's, the title of that work is Resurrection City, bringing back the many, many histories that have happened here. This is probably the start of our fascination too with the power of computing and how that might play into architecture. So back in 1996, each point in all of this and inside the hall was plotted in computer in 3D. And we used to wait overnight for the computer to think through the entire thing and come back and see what the results were in the morning. But you can see that kind of legacy of this kind of work moving on to that highly crafted work that comes at Recital Hall. And that sort of growth of technology and design is a real fascinating thing. References to colour, particularly the green of and then the purple of the suffragette movement. About 10 years later, we were asked to rethink Building 22, which is next door, which is the old Singer sewing machine factory, and what that might do. And we are reimagined as a kind of another servant to the servant of Story Hall. So it becomes a conferencing suite that serves this building. We call it the Green Brain, but it's taken that fractal, those Roger Penrose tiles, and give them a softer reading, a kind of inflated reading. And it's the beginning of a whole piece of research that has a continuum into CAD-CAM manufacturing. So this is fiberglass manufacturing from a group called Moldcam, who make yachts, effectively, you know, and that's where that technology grew up. and how we can apply that thinking into architecture. This kind of study has a direct lineage to the building we're going to see in a minute, which is the whole face through there, using the same technology through there. The fractals are read in a kind of soft and kind of fabric-like way, and up on top they map across the conference centre, the green brain on the roof.
So Moldcam used to be, as Jesse said, they only did boat hulls. They then split off, after they did a number of projects for us, they split off and made a company that just works on buildings. And so our colleagues then use them, like Rob McBride and Debbie Lynn Ryan, when they did the cancer centre up. All of that swoopy stuff on the outside of that is all done by Moldcam. They do a whole lot of other stuff. But similarly, the front of the recital hall is a glass reinforced concrete company, Acerco. They just used to make pipes and covers for gas meters. They now do, you know, the tops of Buddhist temples and all sorts of stuff, and they do a lot of work for us too. So out of our experiments, that feeds back into our local industries, which is really important. And the same with the joiners that did the interior of the recital hall. They went on and actually formed a specialist wing that just does those beautiful interiors. They've done other work for us too.
It's probably worth saying why we do it, why we're interested in kind of exploring new geometries and exploring new technologies in building. And that's because, you know, most buildings are driven by economic rationalism these days. There's an incredibly tight cost, incredibly tight program. So how can we use these new technologies, these new geometries, to make sure we can go back to the idea of storytelling in building, and to go back to the idea of decoration, that buildings can be joyful and house shared narratives and shared moments of joy and surprise. And without doing that, you know, they just get removed out of the project.
Many of the kind of blando buildings that we see in the city are just because they're just components you can buy and go, job's done, which we don't want to do that.